we will be using them this morning. Kathy and Jan are up visiting their aunt in the Carolinas. And Amy, thank Amy for being on the soundboard this morning. But multitasking was simply beyond her. So she didn't get trained on the screens. So we will be using our hymnals this day. So get one, open it up, and get used to it. Anything else that we need to talk about? We have been talking a little bit about what our plans are in terms of how do we gradually get back to full scale. And someone asked me when I thought that would be, and I told them that I really think it's going to be the fall before we're just back with everything going. Does anybody think differently than that? I'm afraid it's going to be that long. But we will keep meeting like this and having a good time worshiping together. If there are no other announcements, let's stand and sing a song of praise.
Join me in the call to worship and the response and the prayer of invocation. Peace be with you.
It's Jesus' blessing for his followers, including us.
Peace be with you.
Jesus continues to startle us, calling us to be witnesses.
Peace be with you.
We receive the gift of God's shalom.
Stepping into the turmoil of life, God,
we still offer peace to all who seek to follow Jesus as Christ. We rejoice at reading of that calm voice chasing away our arms and distress, bringing one life from his life to life and death. In another room, the living one who made the extraordinary
Thank you.
opposed to we want to pray for this day. Let me just bring us currently with what's going on.
We've had way too many Sundays when we've had to announce that there has been a mass shooting, and it seems as if when will we learn? We pray for those who were lost and their families who are here. We pray for all of those who are battling COVID. We pray for those who are fighting the disease, and also those who are battling the disease itself. We pray for our first responders. We pray for our women and men in uniform. It's good to know that we will be leaving Afghanistan in a matter of months. Our grandson will be coming home from there. So we pray for them and hope that it is a good, wise decision. Who else do we need to pray for this day? Donna. Marilyn Coyne, keep Marilyn in your prayers. Claudia. Caroline. Yeah. Yes, Jordan Stover, and Sandy's dad's wife is seriously ill. Peggy.
My neighbor Jenny plus Megan.
Yes. Yes, keep all of the Schneiders in your prayer this day. And Judy?
Yes. Today's fine, but we're going to need some further procedures. So
we will keep him in our prayers, and you, Bob. I can depend on you. Yes, Brian.
Stephanie,
his sister's friend. Keep her in your prayer. Debbie. I'm sorry, I didn't get the first part.
Son-in-law
with a job interview. Keep him in your prayers. Anyone else? May the good Lord be with you. Let's go to God in silence and in prayer. Lord God, El Shaddai, Adonai, we come before your presence this day thankful for the gifts that you pour out upon us. We are a grateful people and allow our gratitude to spring forth into action. We are grateful that you have called us, O God. You have called us in a mysterious way to be the hands and feet of Christ in this place. Give us the strength, the vision, the energy, the creativity to go about that task with joy. O Lord, there are those whom we have lifted in prayer, knowing you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. Bless them during this time and allow them the gracious knowledge of knowing that they are being held in prayer even now. O Lord, we pray for our nation, for our world, for our leaders, that they might become instruments of your peace. Grant us this day, O God, a new vision of who we can become here in this place, and then give us your holy energy to carry out that vision. We pray these in the prayers of our deepest heart, in the name of Christ Jesus, who taught us, our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Edge, if she would officiate at the table today, representing all of our sisters and brothers in Christ in the Coastal Plains area. So let's prepare for that time now.
This is the Lord's table, and Christ invites us to share this meal of grace. Christ recognizes us and looks upon us with favor. Christ befriends us, and he wants us within the circle, within his circle. So we count ourselves among Christ's disciples when we gather at this table to partake in this very feast of fellowship. It was on the night when Jesus was betrayed, when he gathered with his disciples in the upper room to share the Passover meal, that Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and broke it, saying, "This is my body." And afterwards, he took a cup. This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed by my blood for the forgiveness of the sins of all. Every time that we come to this table and partake of the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim Christ's death until he comes. May God bless us as we receive these gifts with all of God's people.
Age to age, you're still the same. what Messiah ought to be. Though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand. Your most awesome work was done in the frailty of your Son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kamkan Adonai, I will praise you till I die, El Shaddai.
Thank you, Melissa. That was beautiful. Our scripture today is taken from the 24th chapter of Luke, verses 36 through 48. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
Thanks, John. Oh, Melissa. That was wonderful. This is the lectionary gospel for today. Jesus came to his followers after the trial, the crucifixion, the resurrection had taken place. Luke, the gospel writer who never met Jesus. Luke was a traveling companion of Paul, we think, and Luke probably had a copy of Mark's gospel when he wrote his, but he added real meat to the story. When he said they were startled and terrified when they saw Jesus, you think? Their worlds had been completely upended. Think about the events of the past week plus in their lives. When the people had cried, "Hosanna, save us, we beseech thee," to Jesus on the road to Jerusalem, his disciples must have thought, "This is the beginning of the kingly reign that we have been expecting for so long. This Jesus, he looks simple enough, but he must be the Messiah in the line of David, the kingly Messiah come to save us. Have you ever had expectations that you had fleshed out so completely in your mind and your heart? Of course you have. You've had those kind of expectations. We all have made those expectations in our lives. Have you had those expectations and then had them dashed completely? Most of us can say yes. A couple of weeks ago, you know, I shared part of my story that I was going to be the best financial analyst the world had ever known. I was going to be by now would be a retired CEO. I'm sorry, honey. That I shouldn't have said that. But I think Mary Louise and I are both happier at the disappointment that I experienced so many years ago that woke me up and got me on the trail that would lead me here. But I need to tell you, I was completely decimated. If you are facing hardship right now and you are in the middle of a big disappointment, several words of care for you. This too shall pass. Things can get better. Rely on those who love you to help you through. The people on the road to Jerusalem, when Jesus passed them, expected him to change everything for them, and they were all disappointed. I've got a t-shirt. I lost it. It had some funny looking birds on the front of it. And the caption was, "Egrets, I've had a few." Honey, I want another one of those shirts. But too few to mention now. I only use my regret as an illustration of how good things can be after you've been terribly, terribly disappointed. Things in life not going how we had hoped for them or how we had planned for them is how life works. It just is. The disciples of Jesus had their lives upended. Jesus was gone, crucified, dead, and buried. The end. When they saw Jesus standing there, they were terrified. They thought they had seen a ghost. When he looked at them, what were his first words to them? Shalom Aleichem. Peace to you. Peace to you. He greeted them in that way that was so familiar to all of them. And all of a sudden, their fear was gone. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you. Jesus is the peace bringer. From that moment on, those terrified, seemingly defeated disciples would begin to change the world. Can you imagine if you had looked at them in that setting that day? Would you have said, this is the group that's going to change the world forever? Of course not. The peace, the shalom that Jesus brought to those first disciples is sorely needed in our world today. I am worried for us. Are you? As I related in my newsletter article, which I'm sure y'all all read and took notes on. You got to admit, I know how to get a laugh out of you guys. I believe the divisions within our own nation are growing deeper and wider. And unlike the song lyrics, that is not a good thing. There have always been wars and rumors of wars. But now we have such weaponry that will kill more people with such greater efficiency. Even our home, our planet Earth, is in danger from centuries of abuse by Earth's most aggressive species, us. Sarah is my hero. Not only does she know her Bible better than I do, that kind of irritates me. But why she's my hero is that she recycles everything. She is the most earth-friendly person I know. And we need to take that writ large in our congregation and continue the what we started back before pandemic. And we need to figure out how to become even better at being custodians of this blue marble. Even in his day, Jesus knew exactly what kind of critter he was giving his life for, didn't he? He knew when he said those jarring words. We read in Matthew and we call, no, this can't be Jesus talking. You remember those words? I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. You better watch out. Father and son will be at battle. Brother will be set against brother. Wow. How many wars in the name of religion over the past 2,000 years have we seen? Most of them. Is it too late for us? Of course not. Of course not. You see, one of the gifts we have been given, we've been given these really big brains. We've been given these frontal lobes that can not only invent atom bombs, they can invent the cure of dread disease. We have the opportunity to change things. It's time we start using those big brains in beneficial ways. I'm not just talking about us in here. There's only a few of us. We're doing relatively small harm. I'm talking about all of those in charge. We better get our heads together and figure out our way out of this mess. Listen to these quasi-contemporary calls for peace from unusual sources. When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. Jimi Hendrix. Oh, yes, Jimmy. The most valuable possession you can own is an open heart. The most powerful weapon you can be is an instrument of peace. Carlos Santana, the best guitarist there ever was. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. John F. Kennedy. Peace is not absence of conflict. It is the ability to handle conflict by peaceful means. Ronald Reagan. Peace and justice are two sides of the same coin. Dwight David Eisenhower. Our task right here at FCCC on Luke 336 is to pronounce Shalom Aleichem in everything we do. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with you and me. Amen. Let's stand and sing a song of invitation. We're going to stand and sing 224, Christ Arose, verses 1 and 3.
No, we're not.
What are we going to sing? Was that last week? No, that was 3 weeks ago. Somebody tell me what we're going to sing. Well, I only missed it by 3 weeks. Now may the good Lord bless and keep each one of you. May the good Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the good Lord lift up her glorious countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.